We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
I have just a special affection for this church and for you folks, and some of you I don't even know, and some of you this would be the first time that our paths have crossed. And I just want to share a couple things with you. I feel like it is worth my time and investment to come down here periodically when Pastor Fuller is out of town or not able to be here, even though you have very capable and qualified people to fill the pulpit. I personally feel like it is important for me to continue to invest in this church. I feel like it is important. It's not, if you're thinking I need some place to preach, I don't. I hog the pulpit at home and preach there two or three times a week, two services on Sunday, and typically teach on Wednesday night. So it's not like I need a place to be. I'm here because I feel like you people are very, very, very important. And this church is very, very important. And a lot of people have invested in this work, and a lot of us are going to continue to invest in this work because I feel like it is worth it. In prayer yesterday, I flew from Dayton nonstop to DFW. The flight was delayed three times. Then when we arrived DFW, sitting in the plane, the pilot kind of apologetically announced that they couldn't find a gate for us. There was no open gates for that particular airline and that particular plane. So we sat there for a while. I was, I was just kind of praying and talking to God. And I feel like the Lord said something to my heart that I wanted to share with you. I took out my notepad and I wrote it down. I believe, and I feel like this is what the Lord spoke to my heart, I believe Redemption Church is meant to be. God wills it. Do you? And you know what it takes to build a surviving church and a thriving church? It takes committed people. It takes people who value what is happening in that church. It takes people that value the connections made and the family atmosphere achieved. It takes people who want it to be and will invest in it and make it go. I am privileged and graced by God to pastor a really fine group of people there in the suburb just outside of Dayton. The suburb is Beaver Creek. A really good group of people. The church is 53 years old. It's had two pastors in 53 years, my dad and myself. My dad started that church in a two-car garage on the east side of Dayton, in the city. It was a two-car garage. It had a potbelly stove. And you guys might not need a potbelly stove here. I feel like I was standing close to one outside today when I was outside, but it had a potbelly stove. And it was started, my dad, my mom, and me as an infant, and that tells you how old I am. Me as an infant, and a lady named Ann Cooper. And Ann Cooper still attends our church. She's still there. And thank God for that. She's in her 80s now. And she comes on Sundays to our first service, because that's when old people come to church. But anyway. And I'm just thankful. I feel so incredibly privileged to be a part of the work of God. And to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, I felt some confusion about today, what to share with you. And so because of that confusion, I just want to kind of share something with you for about 5 minutes, and then I want to give you a short abbreviated sermon after that. I feel like it is so important for people to value their church, to love and cherish their church. You need to love and cherish this church. The church is the most important institution in all of the world. There is nothing more important in this world than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, who was a great theologian, gave us several models for the church. The church as the people of God, the church as the habitation of the Holy Spirit, the church as the body of Christ, several models. But one of those places was in Ephesians chapter 2, where he talks about the church being fellow citizens. So we're members of the same country, as it were. We're fellow citizens, so we're like a country here. Then he talks about we're of the same household, so that means we're of the same family. So first of all, we're members of the same country. Secondly, we're members of the same family. And then the third one, and you see a progression here, it goes from one to another to the next, and each one becomes more intimate and more interdependent. First, citizens of the same country. You can be in the same country and have totally different ideologies and philosophies. You're just citizens of the same country. You can be in the same family and be an individual that is kind of separate from the rest of your family members. And thank God for that, because some of my family members were just crazy. I thank God I'm blood with them, but they're just nuts. And so you can be in the same family, but you can be distinct and different. The third model that he mentions in Ephesians chapter 2 is members of the same building. Members of the same building. That is a more interdependent and more intimate model for the church. Because if you take a brick or a block out of a building, it is not another building. It's just a singular block or brick. But put into it, it is all part of one unity or one entity, and it is important for that part to be. You can remove a door from a building, and it's not another building. It's just a door waiting to be put in a building. We need one another, because separate, we are not a church. We are a member or a part of a building, and so we need the church. We need the local church. Amen? We need one another. The important thing about that model of the building is that every building is meant to house something or someone. It is meant to be a habitation for something. Listen to me, friends. This group of people right here today is meant to be a habitation for the Spirit of God. Amen? We are meant to be a habitation for the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pray right now, and then we're going to look into our short sermon, if that's okay. All right? Let's bow our heads for prayer, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. I thank you for the privilege to be with your people today. I pray, come Holy Spirit and speak to our hearts. Minister to the lives. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would use me to glorify your name, advance your kingdom, and be an instrument of transformation in someone's life today. Let righteousness break in upon us. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Again, I count it a privilege to be with you today. And I feel like I'm here with a purpose, or else I wouldn't be here. And I can also tell you this, that the last time I was here, I think it was last month, I went home to several devils, and they were in unity. And I fought with beasts, like the apostle said he fought with beasts at Ephesus. Then today I got a text message from someone after our second service ended, and one of those devils came back. And so I feel like I'm here in God's design, and I feel like I'm here in God's purpose. So we're fighting the enemy, because that's just what Christians have to do. Sometimes there are battles you'll have in your life just because you're a Christian, for no other reason, right? And so don't feel woe is me when you fight battles for being a Christian. thank God for the fiery trials, because it wouldn't be happening if you weren't a child of God. Amen? All right, I want to talk to you in, because I know that they attach a title to what is said here, I'm going to talk to you about Here I Am. I was praying one day, and there's a song that we sing at our church sometimes. It starts, it says, Here I Am. And it goes, it's called Majesty. And I was just singing that in my office, and then I thought of some, I thought of Abraham. And so I want to share with you just for a few minutes here today, Here I Am. And we'll talk about that. The Old Testament patriarch Abraham, he is an example to us. We as Christians, we need to look to godly examples, people that have walked a path, blazed a trail, who have gone before us and have left a path of faithfulness to God and have continued and they become a model for us. And Abraham was a model for us. He walked with God by faith. He believed God even when it seemed contrary to reason and logic to believe God. His responses to God were not always perfect. You can read in Genesis, and it chronicles Abraham's serious mistakes and, shall we say, even his sins. He was a man that wasn't perfect. We know that. We can read those examples. But he did end up pleasing God and walking with God in obedience. In every person's life, there are moments that are more critical than other moments. In those critical moments, our decisions, they seem to be much weightier than the decisions we make at other times. The decision you make about where you're going to go eat is not as important as the decision you're going to make about who you're going to marry, obviously. Obviously. Unless you really value going to eat. So, what we do in those critical moments will bring greater consequences than our decisions at other junctures in life. I want to call those decisions and those moments, I want to call them load-bearing moments. Load-bearing moments. We all have load-bearing moments, decisions, critical decisions. The all-knowing and omniscient God of heaven knows those moments. And I want to suggest to you today that he actually draws us into those moments. He actually leads us into those times and those moments when we have decisions to make. And then he, of course, wants to coach us and mentor us into the right decisions. We need to pray for wisdom to be able to follow him in those load-bearing moments. Now, if you think deeply about your own life, you'll remember decisions you made in critical moments that affect your life even to this day. They carried an importance that we really can't even fully understand. You may think about the moment you decided to marry, if you're married. That's certainly momentous. It really is. You may think about the decision you made to go to a certain school or job. That is incredibly weighty in your life. Maybe a move to another city, buying another house or whatever. A man told me recently, well, it's been a few years back that he told me this story. Years and years and years ago, he had an opportunity. Someone came to him and said, I've got this startup situation that I'd like for you to join with me and to go into business. And it's an opportunity that I think will be incredible. And you need this amount of money or that amount of money. I don't remember exactly how much money it was. And so he demurred. He dismissed it. He decided that it was not something he wanted to do. He declined. And years later, he told us the reason why he declined. He said, I can't imagine that somebody would be willing to go to a store just for coffee. It was indeed Starbucks. He had a chance to get in at the ground floor and did not. And as he was telling that story to us, you cannot imagine the regret that he showed us in what manifests in his face. It obviously would have made him and his family very wealthy, and he regrets missing that opportunity. There are decisions we make that affect us for the rest of our lives. But I realize that there are decisions that are far more important than those that affect our entire lives on this earth. There are decisions that will affect us not only in this life, but also in eternity. Those decisions are the ones that we make in response to God. Those are the decisions that call us to an opportunity that God is presenting to us. When God gives us an opportunity to take steps of faith and obedience to Him, those are critical. Those are crucial. Those carry unbelievable import and weight in our lives. When God brings you to a cross in the road, when He brings you to a fork in the road, I should say, and He gives you an opportunity to follow Him in one direction or go in opposite direction, those are the most critical and opportune moments of our lives, and they will not only have an effect upon this life, our life here on earth, but our lives in eternity forever and ever. So that, my friends, is why these moments that God brings us to a fork in the road are the most important decisions that we will ever face in our lives. There are many who will writhe all through eternity because of regret. Regret that they did not seize the opportunity. Regret that they did not take advantage of what God was leading them to. They had many chances to respond to the gracious advance of God, and they ignored Him or they rejected His call. Then there are situations where God gives us His own cherished children. He gives us opportunities for us to respond in faith to God, to respond in simple trust. We may not see what's going to happen. We can't see the end result. We don't see the last chapter of the book, but we have an opportunity to respond to God in faith and in trust. And God gives us those opportunities. And my friends, they can actually change our destiny. They can actually change time and eternity for us and for others. I mentioned a moment ago Abraham. Genesis chapter 22:1 says, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here am I. Here am I.'" I could read the rest of that, but really, this response that Abraham had to God, it's so powerful and so important and so immediate for us that the rest of the story could be taken up at a later time. What followed that situation was important for Abraham, but the important decision was made when he said, "Here am I." He listened and he became present. Now, my friends, listen to me for the next few minutes very attentively and very carefully, because what we should do in those critical moments, how we should respond to God, is summarized in three words: here am I. God calls us, God leads us, God brings us to a fork in the road, and we as children of God must respond by saying, "Here am I." Abraham is called the father of those who believe God. Galatians 3:29 says, "And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise." Abraham is an example to us. He walked with God by faith. He believed God even when it seemed contrary to reason and logic to do so. He presented himself to the Lord when God called upon him. Every decision to walk faithfully with God starts with us being present before God and saying, "Here am I." I live close to an Air Force base. It's one of the largest as far as land mass Air Force bases the United States has. And sometimes when the wind is blowing right and blowing in our direction, I can hear at 7:30 in the morning, and why at 7:30 I don't know, but I can hear reveille being sounded. When the wind is blowing right, if my window's open, and I'm in my bedroom or in the family room with the windows open, I can hear reveille sounding. Reveille sounds, and every soldier knows that he must be present, and he must be focused, and he must present himself at the right time, in the right way, or else he could be declared AWOL. Think about this. The military is incredibly important. I pastor military officers, I pastor former officers, I pastor people that work as civilians on the Air Force base and so forth. And I value our military. But let me tell you something. To be AWOL from God when he calls us is far more serious than any military court or any military obligation. None of us want to be AWOL from God when God calls our name and presents us with an opportunity. All of us want to say, Lord, here am I. When reveille sounds for us, we want to say, here am I. It is the call to be present. It is the call to be attentive. It is the call to be aware. There are no sleepy attitudes. There are no times when we're half focused and looking the other direction. When God calls us, we must be faithful to God to hear him and be attentive to him. The call of God upon your life is reveille. You know it's not time to be preoccupied. It's not the time to be careless or slipshod. The one you answer to, ultimately, God, the one you answer to, ultimately, expects your undivided attention and your focus. Abraham said, here am I. This was his reveille. The bugle had sounded, and he was at attention. This is the first step in realizing and seizing the moment of importance. This is the first step in making destiny-shaping decisions when we say, here am I. And you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying just come to an altar and follow some kind of perfunctory ritualistic form that we have in church. And like Redemption Church, it's a fundamental part of our church ethos and practice at home, where we always respond to the Word of God by coming and seeking God and being in his presence and being present before him. But you know, my friends, it can become perfunctory. It can become ritualistic. It can become a ritual and a practice that we go through like any other in life. And my friends, I want to tell you that today, God wants to meet with you personally. And God wants to hear your heart respond to him in sincerity and in truth, saying, Lord, here am I. I am here before you. I am attentive. I am aware. I am focused. Nothing else has my attention. I'm not thinking about what I'm going to do after church, where I'm going to go after church. Right now, God, you have my attention. You have my heart. You have my mind. And you have my spirit. I am here before you. Here am I. Here am I. And you know what, guys? This is where destinies are shaped. This is where futures are crafted. Lives are formed. Ministries are initiated and birthed. In those moments when God is in the room and God is in the house, and we say, here am I. I can think back all the way to when I was the age of 13, which is a long time ago. And I can remember what I felt when God called me to an altar and God called me. And I feel like at that point he birthed in my spirit and he caused me to realize that in my life I was going to be a pastor. Whatever came, whatever went, God was calling me. And at 13, I can remember the place, I can remember the time, I can remember even what I felt in my heart, the emotions that were welling up inside of me. I can remember them just like it was yesterday. Because God came and God gave me a load-bearing moment and a decision to make. And I said, Lord, here am I. Now, there have been plenty of times since that where the Lord did the same and I missed him. And I regret those times. And I regret those missed opportunities. I didn't seize the moment. I didn't take advantage of what God was opportuning for me. But I want to tell you something today. God is in this house. I have felt his presence. I have witnessed with his spirit. And the presence of the Lord is in this place today. And this is the place. On a random Sunday morning in a building on Parker in Plano, Texas, where destinies in time and eternity can be crafted and formed. And everybody else may just walk on by and say, all right, another time, another worship, another service. Thank you, Jesus. And one person could walk out of this place today. One person could walk out of this place, and I hope more than one, and say, I met with God today, And he gave me direction for my life. This was a load-bearing moment. This was an opportunity. I can't help but thinking about young Samuel. You know, he'd been weaned. His mother brought him to Shiloh, left him with Eli in the house of God at Shiloh. Young Samuel lived in the temple where the Lord and where the Ark of the Covenant was. The Lord called his name three times. I'm just going to abbreviate and make it quick. The Lord called his name three times before he was instructed that it was God calling him. You know, we say he was a child, and when God called his name, he missed it. We're all a child. We're all a child when it comes to hearing God. We get so trapped in the confines and the moments of our lives. We get so trapped in the heat of the situation. We get so trapped in this emergency and this urgency and this problem. And we get so trapped in things that take our affection and emotion and our attention away from most important things. And God calls us. We're erstwhile sleeping as God calls us. He calls us again, and he calls us again. And hopefully somewhere along the line, someone will be there like Eli was to say, next time you hear him, say, here am I. Here am I, Lord. And answer him with a sincere and obedient heart. And answer him with a mind that is poised to respond in obedience and faith. Answer him saying, here am I. And that fourth time, after instruction from Eli, Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. You know what this began? And let's look at it as an example. Young Samuel, a child, you know what that began? Even though he missed it three times, God is a God of grace. Right? How many times have we missed him? How many times have we missed destiny-shaping moments? But he still calls. He still calls our name. He still reaches to us in grace and mercy. And when I think about this, it melts my heart how many times God has times that I know of, God has manifested incredible grace to me and my family and people immediately close to me. How many times God has called us when we weren't even aware that he was calling us. God is a God of grace. He called until Samuel was able to hear him and respond and say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. You know what that began? It began a lifetime of Samuel hearing God's voice. He was a prophet and lived a long life hearing God's voice. I pray that every person in this place, and I see all of you beautiful young people, I pray in Jesus' name, God help every young person especially, and every person specifically in this place today, to practice hearing God and saying, here am I. It may make the difference in the future of your family. It may make the difference in the future of your church. It may make the difference in the future of a community you live in. You say, well, that's awfully big. God is bigger. Amen. So Samuel began a long lifetime of hearing God, of God speaking and him hearing. Children can hear the voice of God. I'm thinking of a lady that is just a really tremendous part and member of our church. And she came to God in her 30s, and her husband and their four children. And she relays the story and has related many times of how, laying in bed one night as a child, just grade school age, the Lord came to her and tugged at her heart, and she said yes. And she felt like that was her initial experience with God. Listen, children can hear God. We need to nurture that in our children. We need to be very careful about telling our children, God loves you, and he wants to talk to you, and he wants to bring you to very important things. And what you need to say is, Lord, here am I. Praise God. Not only was Abraham ready to hear, but when he did hear, he obeyed. He displayed a remarkable trust in God. The command of God to offer his son as a sacrifice was contradictory to what God had told him about his son being the descendant that would carry on the Israeli national identity. His son was the first in the line of many descendants, and it just didn't make good sense. It just didn't make good sense to offer this first as a sacrifice for him to die. This moment was one of those that would craft Abraham's destiny. How he responds to God would determine many things. The far-reaching implications of what Abraham decided to do still touch us thousands of years later. Think about that. What Abraham decided to do still touches lives today. And that's just how big it is when somebody hears from God and responds in a way that pleases God. That's just how big it is. Our decisions determine our destiny. If Lincoln had given up politics after a devastating loss in his campaign for the senatorial seat in Illinois, no one ever hears of him. What he did took courage and insight. And who knows when someone comes along that has the same courage and insight that Abraham Lincoln does. His decision to run again changed the destiny of a nation. And maybe, just maybe, it was that humiliating loss that tempered him for what was ahead of him. He made a decision. It was the right one. And it would have been easy for him to decide otherwise. There are people in this room today that are at that proverbial fork in the road and have decisions to make. Those decisions may be momentous and life-changing. So, in summary, my friends, in closing, I want to give you three things, and I want to stress these in summary. Number one, a willingness to be open and present before God, even today, even right now. A willingness to be open and present before the Lord. That's all based on the fact that you've just got to care. You've just got to give a care. If you don't care, you won't be present. If you don't care, you won't be awake. If you don't give a rip what God wants for you or what God is saying to you, you will not be present and you will not be aware. If you're unwilling to spend time in the presence of the Lord, you won't make that first step. Be willing to listen. Nurture a sensitive heart. Remove noise and distraction from your environment that keeps you from attending to God's voice. Number two, trust in God is crucial. You can't say, "Here am I," if you don't trust him. Right? If you don't trust God, you're not going to give yourself in that crucial moment. You're going to be guarded. You're going to stand back. You're going to be reserved with regard to what God is calling you to. But if you trust God, you'll say, "Here am I, Lord. Do with me as you please. Speak, for your servant listens." Trust in God is crucial. A lack of trust, listen, the lack of trust will hinder even a person with the best of intentions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Number three, where you are headed is determined in large part by the decisions you make. You have say-so in your destiny. You have say-so in your future. And I want to encourage every person in this place today, parents, grandparents, students, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Wisdom should actually be our number one prayer request. Before we pray for anything else, before we pray for provision, before we pray for protection, we should pray for wisdom. Let wisdom be your number one prayer request. But it all starts, every part of it starts with saying, "Here am I. Here am I, Lord. I'm your servant, and I am here before you in this moment." And this just may be a load-bearing moment. Amen. Could we bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment? Lord, it is not within my purview to make this a critical moment. That is your field. That is your domain. That is your power. I pray in Jesus' name that over the next few moments, there would be some destiny-shaping decisions. There would be some critical decisions made. There would be some people who just decide to abandon something that is prohibiting them from following you closely. Lord, I pray that if there's someone in this place today that's on the periphery, if there's someone in this place today that is marginal in their commitment, I pray that you would draw them. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, into this place. Call your people. Call your people, Jesus. Shepherd your people here today. Lord, where there's someone whose heart is broken and heavy, I pray in Jesus' name that you would call them to a place of wholeness and healing, that you would call them to a place of obedient surrender, where, Lord, they put all things in your hands. I pray, Jesus, meet us in this place over the next few moments. You can do, Heavenly Father, more in 1 second than a million people can do in a million years. You're great like that. I pray in Jesus' name that you would meet hungry hearts here today. Amen. Amen. Would you stand, please?
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.